Hey, Chattanooga, it's Dan Le Batard. This is Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone and ESPNChattanooga.com.
Some classic Ramones bringing us back here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Brooks Carter producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a fantastic Friday, and may you and your loved ones have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Of course, you've got the Daytona 500. You got the second weekend of the AAF. You've got All-Star Weekend in the NBA. But around these parts, of course, the biggest event of the weekend takes place tomorrow night inside Rupp Arena. Number one, Tennessee at Kentucky. And John Hale, who does a great job covering now football and basketball, covering the Wildcats for the Louisville Courier-Journal. We welcome John back into Press Row. John, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. First, before we get into tomorrow night's matchup, I saw you up there at the Georgia game, and I know that knocked Kentucky out of the SEC East, but when you consider the ending the streak against Florida, beating Penn State in the Citrus Bowl, winning 10 games, I mean, with the storylines of Josh Allen that are going to carry right through the NFL draft, Benny Snell, how much fun was it for you to cover Kentucky football this year?
It was really fun. It was definitely unexpected, too. You mentioned I'm covering basketball and football now. When we lost Fletcher Page to the Inquirer, we had these conversations about what our plan for coverage was going to be heading into the fall. And I basically said, you know, football for August and September, but probably around, you know, middle of October, about that time, Big Blue Madness, they'll be well on their way to another 6 or 7 win season, and we can focus mostly on basketball full time. And obviously that was not the case. It turned out to be a much more intense and involved football season than we thought, but that's fun. I covered that team only. I mean, well, basically that was my main job for 5 or 6 years without a lot of results. So it was really fun to see the interest peak and, you know, the excitement around the program. And then, you know, it's nice. You don't root for the team, but you get to know some of these people and you know them as people and their stories, and it doesn't hurt when you see people you like do well.
And it's a wild dynamic. I mean, we all recognize Kentucky as a hoop school, but wow, a 10-win football season had to make that fun, and it's been an incredible athletic year up there. Of course, a couple of nights ago, LSU with Will Wade, the former UTC coach, LSU comes up there, I guess they're down 8 or 9, and they hang around, they take the lead, and then obviously a controversial tip in at the end. My question for you, just what has the mood of the players been like the last couple of days after what was kind of a stunning setback, the way that thing transpired?
Yeah, we just had their pre-Tennessee news conference about an hour ago, so we talked to Keldon Johnson, E.J. Montgomery, and John Calipari, and it seemed like basically business as usual. I mean, there was some of what you'd expect, that maybe losing a game had refocused them a little bit. Coaches always say that there are issues even when you're winning, and maybe they never say it before you lose, but after they lose, maybe it was a good thing that you could that you can learn some things in a loss that you don't learn in a win. So there's some of that. I don't think there was any risk of them not being motivated for Tennessee, because the number one team in the country, you're going to be motivated for that no matter what. But I think it maybe reestablished that they have some work to do. They have some things to figure out still. Even though they had won 10 games in a row, they were not a perfect team by any means. And I think maybe in the long run, it's a game that can help them.
John, when you look at what took place the other night with Kentucky LSU followed by Louisville Duke, I mean, we talked about it the next day. I mean, just what the Louisville fans, to be a fly on the wall with those fans walking out after losing a 23-point lead. But when you go back to the game in Lexington, did the crowd seem antsy in those last 3 to 5 minutes, the way that thing transpired?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and that was one of those issues that needed to be addressed by this team that maybe they had gotten away with. They had gotten big on Auburn. At Auburn a few weeks ago and let them come all the way back and still won that game. They got big on Mississippi State at Mississippi State Saturday, let them come all the way back within one and still won the game. So when they got up 8 or 9 on LSU and LSU, you know, climbed back into it, it was a kind of sense of, okay, here we go again. What's going to happen? The scene, though, at the end with the review on the tip-in was one of the stranger moments I've ever seen at Rupp. Just because they have to go to the review to see if he got it off in time, which is what they're looking at. Meanwhile, they're showing that overhead angle on the giant video board at Rupp, and all the fans are seeing, you know, pretty obvious basket interference. So they think, oh, okay, they're going to review this, they're going to overturn it, and we're going to go to overtime. not knowing that that play is not reviewable, and that's not even what the official's looking at on the monitor. And then they come out and say, you know, shot's good, game over. And I think people were really surprised, obviously really upset, but they were even maybe so shocked they didn't even know to boo right away.
All right, when you turn the page to tomorrow night's game, what would you say as a scouting report Kentucky's biggest advantage in this game and Kentucky's biggest concern in this game?
I mean, I think outside of a Duke matchup or maybe one or two other teams in the country, Kentucky's biggest advantage is always going to be high-end talent. I mean, I think Tennessee is an elite team. They're a better team than Kentucky right now. They remind me a lot of that 2003 Kentucky Tubby Smith team that went undefeated in SEC play, was the number one overall seed of the tournament, ended up losing Dwayne Wade and Marquette in the Elite Eight after Keith Bogans had, you know, had rolled his ankle a couple games earlier. But that team and this Tennessee team has really good players, NBA players, but maybe they don't have the lottery picks, the top 10 kind of picks that you would think a guy like Keldon Johnson might be, or even a guy like E.J. Montgomery might be next year. P.J. Washington's a lottery pick this year probably. Tyler Hero might be a first-rounder. Ashton Higgins might be a first-rounder. That, if talent matters, that's always going to be in Kentucky's strength. However, we all know that it's not that simple in college basketball. Experience means a ton, and Tennessee has way more of that than Kentucky does. They play like a veteran team. They're physical. They're tough, which has always been a problem for young guys occasionally at Kentucky. So I think that's a huge matchup. You've got to worry about foul trouble if you're Kentucky. I think Tennessee's lineup poses some matchup issues in terms of if you've got Reed Travis and P.J. Washington on Alexander and Grant Williams, what do you do with Schofield? Ashton Higgins was really bad Tuesday, has not been his usual self the last two or three games. How does that play with Bone? I don't know. I think there are some real matchup problems for Kentucky there, but if you look at individual players on the roster, you might take, you know, four or five Kentucky guys with Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield and then make a team there.
You're listening to John Hale. Does a great job covering Kentucky athletics, both football and basketball. Of course, the Wildcats hosting top-ranked Tennessee tomorrow night. You're listening to John here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
John, did you follow Benny Snell's example and have a big tattoo across your belly that says, Hale, yeah?
No, but I a funny story about that. I grew up in far eastern Kentucky where we have quite the twang there. And so it was a funny joke when I was a 12-year-old boy to say it'd be hilarious if your middle name was Go-To. So I used to tell people that joke when I grew up who didn't have the eastern Kentucky twang, and they didn't understand that those two words were pronounced the same way
right.
If you're a hillbilly like I am. So I've had plenty of puns there, but I don't have a tattoo.
All right, fair enough. The if I said the point guard battle, and I don't want to be too simplistic here, but between Higgins and Bone, the kid who has the better game between those two, that team wins. Is it just that simple sometimes?
I think that's where you start. I'm all on board with that idea. I mean, obviously Grant Williams and P.J. Washington are going to get a ton of attention, Schofield and Reed Travis, whatever else they do in the paint. But I think those two point guards, if Ashton Higgins can play the way that he's capable of playing and the way he played for most of January, where he looked like maybe the best on-ball defender in the country, if he can disrupt Bone and what he and how important he is into Tennessee's offense in terms of leading the SEC and, you know, assist to turnover ratio, all those things, that gives Kentucky's chances a way better, you know, a chance to win this game. And then on offense, Higgins is a guy who doesn't look for his own shot very often. If he can hit a wide open jumper when they absolutely force him to take it, then that's a plus. But mostly he needs to get in the lane to drive and find other guys open shots, have, you know, an 8 or 9 assist game. If he's doing that and playing good defense, I feel much better about Kentucky's chances to win this. And if he's not, I don't know that they have enough in the paint to overcome foul trouble and those kind of things that are probably going to pop up.
David and I were talking earlier, John, about how glorious it would be if Rick Barnes looks Laura Rutledge in the face at the first on-court interview and says, well, we expected this because we're everybody's Super Bowl because we're the number one team in the country. Do you think John Calipari, is he extra? I mean, I don't want to use extra motivated, but he understands what this is, right? I mean, Tennessee's now closing some ground with Kentucky.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think it helps a little bit from Cal's perspective that he and Rick Barnes are so close. So it's not a rivalry where there's the animosity as there was between like Calipari and Rick Pitino or Calipari and a Tom Crean at times or whatever it might be. That, I think, makes it a little more friendly. But there's no doubt he has to realize that they've closed the gap, that they've pushed that. I actually wrote a story today about the last time that Kentucky and Tennessee played as top 10 teams was 1968. Kentucky went to Knoxville, got blown out by 28 points. They came back and won in Lexington and Memorial Coliseum 3 weeks later. But Mike Pratt, one of the guys on the team there, who's Kentucky's radio analyst now, was talking about how Ray Mears, his whole thing was like, he recruited Mike Pratt and said, we're going to catch Kentucky. We're going to pass Kentucky. And that was maybe the high point of the rivalry is those games between Mears and Rupp. And then it never maybe moved past that point. But it looks like now Tennessee's absolutely established itself as that second program in the SEC that's going to challenge Kentucky on a year-in, year-out basis. I think it's good for Lee. I think it's great for the rivalry. And they know that there's high stakes to this. If you don't win tomorrow, it becomes even more important. They lost three straight in Knoxville, and you can't imagine they're probably going to win there this year. So I think tomorrow's going to be huge for that reason.
You're listening to John Hale, does a great job covering Kentucky athletics for the Louisville Courier-Journal. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say if Tennessee wins tomorrow night, Kentucky, because of what LSU, you can stick a fork in their league chances, right?
Yeah, and that was an interesting kind of exchange today at Cal's press conference. He was basically asked, how important is the league race? And he said it's not important at all. And he's been consistent about that for the 10 years he's been here. He's only concerned about positioning his team to be the best as it can be in those 3 weeks in March. And part of that, he knows, is you got to get the best seed. And beating Tennessee keeps their hopes of getting a one seed alive. But he is not concerned at all about winning an SEC title, which, you know, seems sacrilegious to some, I think. But it's big, even if you take away the SEC title race. It's big for he hates conference tournaments, but, you know, you want to be a high seed in Nashville to do what you can to improve your seed there. You want to get another quadrant one win to make sure that if you're not a number one seed, maybe you're the top two seed and there's a path that you can get the Louisville if, you know, Virginia were to pass Tennessee for that region. We'll see. There are huge stakes in this game, SEC title included and not included.
Yeah, for someone who poo-poos a conference tournament, he sure does a good job of winning the thing.
Yeah, they go down there, and it's basically every year. We always have this debate because they do a bracket media availability show at Calipari's house every year on Selection Sunday right after the bracket comes out. And obviously those of us who don't have private jets can't get from Nashville to Lexington by the end of the championship game by the time the bracket comes out. So you have to – some of us skip the game, and we leave somebody there to cover it, and I come back to Lexington generally and cover the bracket show here. What's more important – and it's never been a situation where you were like, oh, okay, it's not going to be a conflict because Kentucky's not even playing on Sunday. I think in his 10 years here, only once, maybe twice, they haven't made it to Sunday in the SEC tournament. So it's certainly quite the event, whether he likes it or not.
All right, John, this can be a very unofficial poll, but you touched on the friendship between Barnes and Calipari. Is Barnes his favorite coach in the league? If you had to rank Calipari's top two coaches that he likes – and the bottom two?
Right. I mean, I think it's Rick Barnes, number one, and I don't know that there's anybody even close at number two.
It's John Hale. It's John Hale. He loves John Hale.
Mark Fox. That's not true. Mark Fox is gone. I don't know if there's an obvious. He loved talking about Mark Fox. He liked Andy Kennedy. The number two doesn't even come to mind. The bottom two are pretty easy. Bruce Pearl's got to be up there,
right?
Given their history at Tennessee and Memphis. And I'd put Tom Crean in that group, too, even though Tom Crean and Cal used to be really close, too. But it soured when the Kentucky-Indiana series ended, and I don't know the relationship has ever recovered from that.
Okay, so it's been quite the trade-off in Athens from Fox to Crean.
Yeah,
on the Calipari. All right, John, final question. I don't know for the Courier-Journal if you have to make a prediction for this game, if you've done so. If I had to put you on the spot, who do you like tomorrow night and why?
This just seems to me like we're just screaming towards a regular season split where both teams win their home games and then we get that matchup in the SEC tournament finals, or, you know, if some way LSU wins the league maybe, or gets the number one seed at least, the SEC tournament semifinals. But I feel like Kentucky's going to win tomorrow. I think losing to LSU wakes them up a little bit, gets that last little bit they need to come over the top. If the big guys getting foul trouble, all bets are off. But I feel like Kentucky's winning tomorrow. They're going to lose in Knoxville, and then we're going to get to see round three in Nashville.
And if I could slip one more in real quick, has anybody been able to put the finger on Hagans the past couple of games and what's been wrong?
Yeah, we were talking about that today. I think part of it is just that wall that freshmen tend to hit.
Okay.
I mean, I think a large portion of it is teams are playing him differently on offense because they know that his jump shot is just not a real threat. I mean, he can hit one if he's wide open, but he's still not shooting a great percentage, even on, you know, absolutely wide open jumpers. So I think that's part of it. They're sagging off. He's trying to figure out different things, and that's affected maybe his defense a little more than he would like to admit, even though he's a guy who is, you know, came in with a reputation as defense first point guard. I think it's just hitting that wall and other teams figuring out a little bit. He's got to adjust now to what they're doing to him.
He's a great follow on Twitter, JONHALE_CJ for Courier Journal. John Hale.
Hale, yeah!
Absolutely. John, thank you so much for joining us. Great stuff. Enjoy tomorrow night. I know that's going to be a fantastic atmosphere, regardless of who wins the game. And we thank you, as always, for joining us here on Press Row.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. John Hale does a great job with UK Athletics. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.